Now on Sky Sports Radio, it's time to chinwag with Cozzy.
Chinwagging this morning, looking forward to this too with Josh Parr. I reckon he'd have a grin on him from ear to ear after a Group 1 success on the weekend. G'day, Josh. How are you?
Really well, Sean. How are you?
Fighting fit, probably not as good as you've been. That was a terrific win on Hampden Court on the weekend. Did it surprise you?
With the dominance that he won with, yeah, that surprised me a little bit, but I was confident on the horse going out for the race.
It was interesting the way he got home. It looked like about 150 yards out. It seemed like you put the whip away, you'd had it out and sort of gathered him up almost a bit. It was like he dropped into another gear.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that's what's going to hold him in really good shape going forward to a Derby trip. If he's able to conserve the energy like he has in his races up to date and turn for home and build momentum like he did on Saturday and say a furlong to go, show that acceleration again, my goodness, he'll be hard to beat in the Derby because he's an exciting colt.
He looks a little bit, Josh, like a big loping sort of, you know, I'm still learning type horse. Is that a fair assessment of him?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I do. I think it's going to be really exciting once, obviously, three-year-old campaign has been exciting and there's still more to come, but I think it'll be exciting to see him return in the autumn and then even again in 12 months' time as a real mature stallion and see what heights he can get to because he's showing the ability so far.
Well, it's a nice time for a Group 1 win to come heading towards the Spring Carnival, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. We all want to be a part of the big ones and especially winning them. It's the pinnacle of our sport, so I'm very pleased to have got one and hopefully more to come.
Well, it's your second one, isn't it?
It's my second, yeah.
Which was the bigger thrill?
Well, they were both great, but for different reasons. My first one, obviously, great because it's my first. It was a really tight finish, so there wasn't a lot of time to get excited. It was obviously great emotions after the race, whereas on Saturday, 150 metres to go, I knew I was the winner of the race. So the feelings that were going through my body, it's still with 150 metres and then again with 100 and then again with 50 metres to go in a Group 1 race was just incredible. Some of the greatest moments of my life.
Well, you basically probably had about 8 or 9 seconds to realise before you hit the line, this is it, it's mine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's like I said, it was fantastic. I was shaking, I was numb, I had pins and needles, it was fantastic. I can't speak highly enough of it.
It'd be nice if we could bottle and drink it every day, wouldn't it?
It'd be fantastic if I could just let everyone experience what I felt the last 100 metres of that race on Saturday. It'd make explaining it a hell of a lot easier.
Now, Josh, as a kid growing up, where did you grow up?
I grew up on the Central Coast of New South Wales at a suburb called Point Clair with my three sisters. And I had a great childhood. My mum and dad are great people, and they raised all four of us in fantastic order.
Were ponies a part of your life? Was racing a part of your life?
Yeah, certainly. My dad was a jockey, and he rode up. Well, he was still riding as I started. He was getting to the end of his career, but he was still riding, and so I got to ride in a few races with him. I was as a kid every Saturday I was at the races with Dad, and there was the odd midweek day that I chucked a sickie and jumped in the car and went on a trip with Dad. So. Racing's been a big part of my life. We had ponies growing up. I had uncles, aunties as trainers. A couple of my cousins grew up and become jockeys who've given it away now. But, yeah, racing's a big part of my family. And I was pretty well known around the racetracks from a very young age. I was always that annoying kid running around asking questions.
Hey, if you're asking questions, you're going to learn, though, aren't you?
That's exactly right. I'll keep asking questions till the day I die because it's the only way to go forward.
Now, Josh, no doubt your dad would have given you lots of tips and advice along the way. What is the one thing that probably stands out most in your mind that your dad said to you?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. There's been from the day I started, his support, his guidance, advice has just been such a probably my biggest tool. Like it's he's been inspirational in how he's guided me as a young jockey and then into a senior jockey. To narrow it down to one particular thing, I'm not too sure. I know on an emotional aspect, when Dad said how proud he is of me and what I've done in this game, that's definitely a special moment.
Yeah, that's something you love to hear from your dad, don't you?
Oh, certainly, yeah. Because Dad and I we're best of friends, and we've got a really good relationship. So it's terrific.
You remember starting off riding, what it was like? Well, I suppose you had a fair bit of experience, so you weren't going in as a raw recruit, were you, when you went to start your apprenticeship?
No, that's right. It's just mucking around on ponies, just hooning around paddocks and whatnot. I used to always want to be putting my irons up to a jockey's length, and Dad used to go so crook. I used to try and pick the moments when he wasn't there, and it was just Mum up there, up at the paddocks and whatnot. I used to reef my irons up and have them at jockey length. So when I went to the track, I had a bit of an advantage once I started track work.
Can be a bit uncomfortable on those little saddles with the knee pads sticking out on them too.
Yeah, certainly, certainly.
So who did you start your apprenticeship with, Josh?
I started with Kylie Gavenlock at Gosford. She was really good, Kylie. She had a very good, or still does, still had a very good team of workers there, and I think that a big plus about starting there at Gosford was I was still able to live at home with Mum and Dad, and Kylie and her staff pretty much said, Josh's dad's here to teach him. Dad was riding work there at the time, so it was really good. Dad was able to just teach me every day. He rode work with me every day. Kylie gave me a lot of free rein to ride outside work. It was just a really good grounding for a career ahead.
Was your dad tough?
He's not a tough man. He's very fair, actually. He will let me know though if he believes I've made a mistake. not in a very tough or angry manner, but he certainly keeps me on my toes. That's for sure. Still to this day, and I'm 27.
Now you remember your first ride. Where was that?
My first ride was Hawkesbury Cup Day on a horse called Azamsel for Kylie Gavenlock, and it started 150-1. Its form was atrocious, and I jumped from a wide barrier. It was pretty much a blur, and I didn't know where I was. I didn't know where I was going. I pretty much circled the field, and Brent Stanley, he was riding in Sydney at the time. He'd had a bit to do with me as I was coming through learning, because he was riding for Kylie Stable there at the time. And he gave me a yell at the top of the straight. He said, "Go for home, Jock." And I took off, and I was beaten a short half head by Zach Burton. So it was a terrific day, but it would have been nicer if I got it home.
The fairy tale almost came true, and you probably wouldn't know nothing about most of it.
Yeah, I had no clue. I was happy to be there. I was happy to get around, and I know two people that were extremely nervous, and that was my Mum and Dad, so they were probably relieved I made it round.
How long before the first winner popped up?
It took me a long time. It took me a hell of a long time. It took me 58 race rides to ride a winner, which is a hell of a lot. And Dad just kept assuring me, he said, "Mate, don't worry. It doesn't matter how long it takes you to ride a winner. Once you ride one, you'll be right. You'll be off and on your way. All this first part of your career is about is learning and just limiting your mistakes and staying out of trouble." And he was so right, because you could imagine a 16-year-old kid not being able to ride a winner. It was driving me insane. But once I did, that was it. I didn't look back, and been riding winners since.
It's very easy to get your head down, isn't it, and sort of get lost in it all when success doesn't come.
Yeah, definitely. Especially being so young, I was fresh out of school. I left school and I started working in the stables the next day, and yeah, so it all happened very quickly. So I expected it to happen for the winners to come a lot quicker than they did. But look, it's all ancient history now.
Chin Wagon this morning with Josh Parr. Josh, you've had a great relationship with the Snowden gang and ridden quite a few winners for them. That's a nice ongoing relationship there.
Yeah, it certainly is. We've had a marvellous relationship. I've ridden just over 200 winners for Peter. Oh, sorry, I rode 200 winners for Peter Snowden, and now Peter and Paul Snowden, that's a new venture. So the tally restarts, but we're going along well.
You've been on some nice horses for him too. Cluster was one where you dodged a few speeding fines, I think, to go to Newcastle and ride him.
Yeah, that's for sure. I went and rode him to win first up, which was his maiden, believe it or not. He was a maiden with a benchmark of 78. I reckon I had every highway patrolman out after me that day with the publicity that it brought on, but I must have ducked and weaved okay.
Now, riding a Dali, what was the best horse you rode, albeit in a race or in work?
Yeah, that's so many good ones went through. Sepoy, Denman, Forensics, Skilled. He's my favourite because he was my first Group 1 winner. But, so many fantastically bred horses and quality animals. But if I was to narrow it down, I'd say Sepoy.
Now, at times you've sort of said to Dali and to Peter Snowden, look, I'm going to ride independently a little bit, and you've sort of drifted away from the stable, but you've always sort of come back. It's like there's been the umbilical cord.
Yeah, I heard Peter Moody joke around one day. He was up here at Randwick in the tower, and he said, isn't it amazing you have an apprentice and you can never get rid of them. They just keep returning. So it seems to be the case with me and Peter Snowden, but I know how Peter works, how he wants his horses ridden, and I think vice versa. He knows how I work and how I usually ride. So we've been a very good combination. You're right. I went from riding pretty much on a full time basis for Peter Snowden and Dali to just going off on my own a little bit, and Peter and Paul are on their own now too. So I do a hell of a lot of work for them, and I hope for a lot of success still to come for their stable.
Now, Josh, I know you keep fit. You do a bit of running. I think you run a city to surf. So do you engage in much running? Is that one of the ways you keep your weight down?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Luckily, I enjoy it. It's very good for my fitness. It keeps my weight in check. But the fact that I enjoy getting outdoors and going for a run, that's a big positive.
With weight, is it an issue with you or not?
Yeah, it has been from my first race ride. I'm a very tall jockey. It's someone as tall as me, I wouldn't look out of place if I was about 70 kilos. But so it's been a proper battle from my first ever race ride. But with the guidance of my parents early on, and then later on in life, dietitians. And then my fiancée, Amanda, who keeps the meals nice and healthy and keeps my weight in check really well.
If you're going to have a breakout for a while, what's the one food you just think, God, I'd love to get hold of a bucket full of that and just attack it?
Oh, chips and gravy.
Good old comfort, Tucker.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing flash, just get the chips and gravy and go for it. How often do you get hold of them?
Oh, not often, but... When I have a chance, I make short work of a bag of chips and gravy.
What's the one race you really want to win?
The Melbourne Cup and the Golden Slipper.
That's two.
I know, I couldn't decide.
Dead heat.
Yes, for sure. It's obviously the Melbourne Cup. Cause it's every Tom, Dick and Harry know what the Melbourne Cup is. It's the race that stops the nation. It's our biggest prize, so I'd love to win that. But being a New South Welshman, I love the Golden Slipper.
What about overseas? Have you sort of harboured a desire to maybe go and ride in Hong Kong or even into England and Europe?
Yeah, I'd love to. I really would. England, Ireland, France, they really appeal to me, and I'll make sure I get over there and do some riding. Hong Kong obviously appeals to me. Just the fact that you can make so much money there, there's a stigma that people come back a better rider, So it'd be, I think it'd be beneficial for my career going forward. But I'll get overseas eventually, and I'll look forward to that time.
Now, Josh, going to the spring, Hampden Court, obviously, what else are you going to hitch your wagon to and hopefully ride another Group 1 winner on?
Yeah, well, I'm riding a horse on Saturday called Inkling, who showed some really nice form last preparation. He went away for a little bit of a freshen up. He's Cluster's little brother, actually. He'll resume in the Brian Crowley. I think he has the ability to stand up and take on the top level. So hopefully Saturday he can prove that to us. And I remain on him and head to Melbourne and ride him.
Well, good luck. We hope you have a terrific spring. One Group 1 under the belt. You got a little holiday out of it, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I was a little bit forceful in the actions with a fellow rider, but that's how it happens, and yeah, we'll move on from that.
Well, at least you didn't get booked for going too slow again.
Yeah, that's right, for sure.
Well, Josh, great to catch up. Terrific to have a chinwag with you this morning. Good luck. Hope it's a really successful and a safe spring for you.
I've really enjoyed the chat this morning. Thank you very much.
Good on you.